Bougainville?
Listen local.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on Radio Catskill. I'm your host for this Friday evening, Patricio Roballo. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're enjoying the programming that we have here all day long, or year long, actually. We're in a four fun drive. Give us a call here at 845-482-4141 or donate online to wjffradio.org. If you're enjoying the program, if you have enjoyed the local edition since its inception around 2020, then consider donating at wjffradio.org. We are talking, especially now our election season is well on the way. We are days away from the election. We have interviewed almost every candidate for this election in our listening area, either New York or in Pennsylvania. So if you could visit our website, wjffradio.org, look for the election page and you can find our interviews there for the Assembly, for the State Senate, for Congress. That's all there from New York and also from Pennsylvania. So if you appreciate all the work that we have been doing and will be doing, then why not consider giving a donation at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. Every dollar does count. While this service is for free, you can turn on your radio, you can look at your website and see all our news stories for free. The background, it does cost us money to put this program on for you. So if you can help us out with a donation, give us a call, 845-482-4141. Let's move on to the show. We have a lot to get to. It's Friday on the local edition. That means we get the one and only Chris Rowley from the Schwankuk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Chris, welcome back to the program. We have an interesting story here. You were able to identify in real time a viral post that was giving out misinformation. There was a couple of buses going into in Ulster County. Someone took a picture of it, posted on Facebook, and said 700 migrants were coming into New York. I remember seeing the post. I remember seeing it blown up and see how many people were angry about it. And come to find out, it had nothing to do with migrants. Chris, why don't you tell us a story of what happened?
Okay, this week at the Schwankuk Journal, we got something kind of fluky and weird, but we jumped on it. We actually caught misinformation in the process of being dished out to the public, setting off one of those chain reaction things on Facebook and everything else, on Instagram. And basically, this was an attempt by somebody, we're not quite sure who yet, to frighten people about migrants. This whole thing about immigration, migrants, people are frightened of migrants and so on. It's a global thing. South Africans are frightened about Nigerian migrants. It goes everywhere. The issue here was, okay, so let's just roll back to last weekend. Last weekend, this singer, Charlie XCX,
yeah.
Brat, mm-hmm. This was the Brat summer. Anyway, her record company was planned to have a listening to her record, not a concert, but she would just jump around on stage while people listened to her new record at Storm King, the art center, the lovely sculpture park over in Cornwall or New Windsor, which rules are in between there. Anyway, so they planned that, and the people would take the train, because most of her fans are, after all, urban, and they're all in. So they would take the train up to Beacon. At Beacon, they'd be met by buses, which would come across the river to Storm King, where they would jump. You know, and I have a copy of Brat. I quite liked it. I especially like the fact that she's an ethnic girl, and she said, and Club Classics. Yeah, nobody else could do it except people from Essex. Anyway, she had her show. They did that thing. But somebody saw the buses outside Beacon Station or outside Storm King, one or the other, and took photos. And these buses had 700 migrants to Beacon to be sent to hotels or a hotel in Ulster County. It was invented. Nobody saw any migrants. There were no migrants. But this was invented. It went up on Facebook, and then it just a little local viral. It exploded all around here.
People, I remember seeing the post. I remember seeing that post from somewhere. Not the, because I also saw the photo on the Shawanka Journal's website, Facebook page, but I also saw the original post that there were these buses coming in.
Yeah, but this is tapping into an age-old fear. Come on, this goes back to Babylon, when Babylonians probably hated having Assyrians come in. This really is old.
Yeah.
People are afraid of groups that are the other, and the politicians have always used the other as something to scare people with. Anyway, so we tracked it down. We knew what it was, went to the original person who had that we could see had set it off, and that person had pulled it down, took it off immediately, and vanished. Boom. She didn't want to talk about it. She's gone. And then we went to the other end, and I spoke to the earnest and wonderfully active Yossi Zablocki, who is the CEO manager at Hudson Valley Resort up on the hill there, the former Granite. And he was getting an endless amount of calls and aggravation from neighbors and people who were wondering whether he had migrants. And of course, last weekend was Yom Kippur. Now, those of us who aren't Jewish, we don't, celebrate Yom Kippur. We don't, and it's not really a celebrating. It's one of my favorite religious festivals because it's about atonement. And it's the last day of what they call the days of awe, where people who worship God, etc., are in awe of God and his mighty works. Yom Kippur is a very solemn, very quiet kind of day. It's not like our Christian festivals. There's no food. There's no celebrating. It's just like you within yourself and contemplating the past year and how you might improve next year and stuff like that. Okay, so it's not something that fills up a hotel. Yossi was said Friday was really quiet, hardly anybody there. Saturday, they didn't get a huge crowd of people either. They did get people in. They had bikers, and he called fall foliage people, which they get quite a lot this time of year. So that's what came in. They had no migrants, and he got quite excited. There are no buses here.
It's amazing that you was able to investigate this because it did go viral for a while. And the unfortunate thing that does happen sometimes is even though it gets debunked, the rumor or whatever the misinformation thing keeps spreading and people keep it as truth that it did actually happen.
Absolutely. And I'm sure it's gone on and in some parts of the weirder areas of the internet, it's still passing on and being promoted. But we actually got right to the source and turned it off there, bang. And we went to the other end of what in the local zone, and we got the reaction there, which was a very indignant hotel CEO. So, yes. That it was interesting, but it was also an illustration, really, of the damage that social media can do and what it offers that way. Rumors, there's always been rumors. There's always been fear of migrants. That's always existed. And now rumors can be, anybody can start a rumor and spread it. It's depressing that way. But there we go. That was that story. It was, and it felt good to be able to do something in real time, which we don't usually get to do it with a weekly newspaper. And it's rare that you get to work that way. So a little touch of run the presses cut to the picture of old fashioned newspaper presses roaring, and newspaper boys rushing out of the plant with bundles in their arms. But again, and a warning to all of us, don't believe necessarily what you may see on Facebook or on Instagram or any other social media platform that you use. Anything and everything that you see online needs to be checked. Yes, Wikipedia is good, but you can't just trust a Wikipedia entry. You've got to go and look at their sources. There's usually a long list of sources, and you go and you check a few of those. If it's a discussion about a star, something that I tend to do, Alnitak, it's in the belt of Orion. It's actually a multiple star. That's fine. This is pretty much accurate, right? Because otherwise, a lot of astronomers would be on it. It's like checking it out. So you check it out and you find, yes, it's correct. They're right here. It is a multiple star. It's got this. That's what you've got to do. With almost everything, if you really want to be sure that anything you pass on is actually true, actually realistic.
Again, great story, Chris. A great way to illustrate what reporting can do. Like I said, these things come out and you were able to debunk it in real time. Like I said, unfortunately, sometimes these stories do live on past the debunking stage. So, Chris, thank you so much for that. We'll check in with Chris next week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back talking to Maria Silva from Times Union, talking about Hispanic Heritage Month and some of the stories that she covers when it comes to asylum seekers and migrants. We are in a 4 Fun Drive. Give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at wjffradio.org. If you want to show your support for this station, for any of these shows that we have, if you're enjoying this show, if you enjoy Radio Chatskill, or the special two-hour Rare Pair Radio that's coming up. Usually we have the mixtape. Next week, we're going to have the mixtape for 2 hours. That's been Jason Tuga. And it's going to be a great event next week also, also this weekend. So give us a call here at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
They flew a drone to enter the building. Those are like miniature drones with cameras. They saw a body of one of the terrorists. Suddenly, one of them said, "That looks like Sinwar."
I'm Sabrina Tavernisi. That's today on The Daily from The New York Times.
NPR and this station don't just report the news, we explain what it means for you. Because the news is personal, and your support is essential. Donate to this station today, and thank you.
Go to wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We are in the midst of a 4 Fun Drive. Give us a call at 845-482-4141, or you could donate online the easy way, wjffradio.org, on your computer or on your cell phone. It's that easy. If you're enjoying this program and enjoying every weekday night that we have The Local Edition, every weekday morning that we have Radio Chatskill, doesn't come easy. There's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes to make these shows happen, and we need your support to continue to make it happen. So if you support public radio, think about supporting us. Okay, let's get back straight to the show. October 15th marked the end of Hispanic Heritage Month, but we have one more interview for you. We have Maria Silva from the Hudson Valley Times Union. She is a reporter who has a wide range of reporting duties. But one of the things that she does report on that was interested for Hispanic Heritage Month and the reason why I wanted to talk to her is that she reports a lot on the migrant situation that's happening. I have migrants coming up here and the asylum seekers coming up here to the New York area. And she was on the field talking to a lot of them. And one of the things that unique things that is that she speaks Spanish. She is from Spain, and while she's not considered Hispanic or Latino because she is from Spain and is European, but we have a conversation about some of the things that she has witnessed, some of the conversations she's had with the asylum seekers. Here's my conversation with Maria Silva from the Times Union on her experiences being here in America, being a journalist and reporting on the migrant crisis in the southern border.
Yeah, I came here in 2017 with a scholarship that I received when I was in high school to come to the U.S. and get my college degree here. This came because I obtained really good grades in high school. I worked really hard, and there's this foundation in my hometown that provided, you know, scholarships, funding for young kids from my hometown to go to the UK for 2 weeks in the summer, and mostly just language programs. But one of those scholarships was to come to the US and study. So I came here with this fully funded scholarship in 2017 and graduated in 2020 with my degree in communications, concentration in journalism. And as we all know, 2020 was such a challenging year, and I ended up finding several opportunities and just stuck around thanks to these different opportunities that I received. So yeah, that's how I ended up here. Like, long story, very short version of that. But yeah, I've just been coming and going for a while now, mostly just living in the U.S. Since 2017, I would go back to Spain for Christmas or summer, but I've been able to be here full time ever since I got a job here in the area.
Yeah. Where in Spain where you are originally from?
So I was born in Tarragona. That's in the northeastern part in this region called Catalonia. That's about an hour south of Barcelona, mm-hmm. which that's the city that everyone knows. But I grew up mostly in Girona, which is an hour north of that. So about between Barcelona and the south of France, to make it easy for people. Okay. Yeah, so very close to Barcelona. I actually went to college there. Public transportation is very accessible there. But yet that northeastern part of Spain, where we actually speak another language too, not just Spanish, it's Catalan, which is very similar to Spanish. A lot of people say it's a mix between Spanish and French. It has the same Latin roots as those Romance languages. But yeah, it's a really beautiful region. I'm very proud of where I come from and being not just bilingual, but trilingual, which is something that's very cool. And I don't take that for granted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've been to Spain a couple of times, just touristing, visiting Barcelona. I went to Toledo, Madrid. But how did you get into journalism?
Yeah, this all kind of started when I was in high school. We had just written assignments and like creative writing assignments. Mm-hmm. And I found myself that I was really enjoying that. And my teacher told me, hey, you're pretty good at this. Have you considered a career in writing, perhaps? And at that point, I hadn't really considered that or any career whatsoever. I was still on the fence about what to do with my future. But I figured, I like writing. I enjoy writing. I've always been a very curious person by nature. I remember when I was a kid, I would read all those very interesting magazines with science stories and stuff. So I never gravitated towards one topic, specifically like history or science. I just enjoyed a lot of things, a lot of topics. So I figured I liked writing. I'm interested in a lot of different things. So journalism was this tool, this bridge to get me to learn about a lot of different topics and get to write about them. Yeah, after high school, I ended up going to college for a couple of years in Barcelona. It's called the Autonomous University of Barcelona. And after that, after 2 years, I transferred to the U.S. And I've been doing journalism ever since. I do not regret that.
Great that you are in journalism. It's great way you found it and found sort of your voice.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of you work for now for the Times Union, the Hudson Valley's yeah. Times Union? We're going to go over some of the topics you do cover. I know we are going to talk about you do cover the migrant, what's happening with the migrant situation in the southern border. But what other topics or things do you do cover for the Times Union?
Yeah, I used to write a lot about food and culture in my previous job in the Utica area. So I've been able to do a lot of like food and culture stories since then. I've been able to bring that over to my current beat. And yeah, I do a lot of different things, which is what I enjoy. Every day is different. I've been doing a lot of, like I said, food stories, culture stories, but also news stories. I've been particularly interested in covering the migrant situation just because that was such a big thing. And I figured I speak Spanish, and not all migrants speak Spanish, but primarily Spanish. So I figured I could use that, my language skills, to help tell those stories. But I don't have this very specific defined news or beat in general. But I do get to write a lot about what I enjoy and things that I'm interested in. Sometimes we'll get assigned different stories, which you have to write. But I do that I have the ability to pitch different stories to my editor based on my interests. So for example, like somebody in our team likes to write about the outdoors and hiking, they're able to pitch those stories on top of just the regular news stories. So I've been able to write a lot about just very different things. Last year, I just wrote about the Charlie X concert or DJ set mm-hmm. at Storm King last week, which was an incredible experience. Before that, I put together a roundup of food stories and hospitality happenings in the region. As long as it's Hudson Valley related, I think we have a pretty good, I guess we have a lot of freedom to explore different stories and beats as long as they have that connection to the Hudson Valley.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, like I said, one of the things you do have been covering is what's happened with the migrant. One of the stories you wrote not too long ago, there was at one point earlier in this, last summer, that the asylum seekers were being bussed up from New York City and other parts of the country, and they were making their way here to the area, being put up in hotels. There was a lot of pushback there. And you guys assigned to this story, while you are from Spain and you came here the way you came here, were you able to relate to their stories being in a different country, and especially the way things are happening now politically? Were you able to relate to some of the people that you did speak to?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking the same language definitely does help. And I think it does a lot to being able to cover these stories, very important stories. But yeah, I try to tread lightly when it comes to these stories, just because of my background as a very privileged white European who speaks English fluently, as opposed to a lot of the people who we're talking about who arrive in the United States after risking their lives in the Darien Gap, a journey that lasts weeks, months, and then coming to a country where they're met with a lot of hostility. I try to recognize the differences, right? And see how I can use my language skills to get to tell their stories, and not overstepping any boundaries or anything, but just recognizing in a very humble way where I come from and what I can do to help and considering my position. But yeah, as an immigrant, I've been in touch with some of the struggles that come with being away from home, not understanding much of the language and customs at first, and also finding your way in another country, feeling like your heart is split between the two. There's a lot of loss of identity and feeling like if you do go back to your home country, feeling a stranger in your own home, that is such a weird feeling of you go back to everything that you had known before, only to realize that life has continued after you left and nothing has stopped. People grow older, your family, you miss a lot of important family milestones, birth, possibly deaths, the grief that comes with not just losing somebody important in your life, but not being there. So I think on a very human level, I'm able to relate to those stories. I consider myself a very empathetic person, but just that journey that I've been able to embark myself on has allowed me to establish that connection and understanding with people who have just lost so much. But yeah, it's just such a complicated topic, and I'm not the only one or first one who has experienced this. Decades of thousands of people have experienced this kind of loss of identity before me. Many people I've talked to simply cannot return to their home country because they either can't afford it or they can't go because they would then jeopardize their immigration status. So there's a lot of pain that comes with leaving your home. And we often think that, oh, those people are just coming here and they're trying to take resources from Americans. But that's not true. People come here with a dream. People come here. Much our ancestors came here. American ancestors came here with the goal to create a better life for themselves and their families and their children. And I think I'm able to connect with those stories in a more human way, I think. And
I try to empathize with those people and also recognizing where I come from.
Yeah, America is known as the land of immigrants, and everyone here has come at some point in their family's history, came here to America to for that exact reason, to find a better life. Much like my parents were immigrants coming to this country, my father from Ecuador, my mom from Puerto Rico, coming here to do the diaspora of South Americans and Puerto Ricans and Caribbeans, people coming here in the 60s and 70s, working in the factories, really leaving everything behind. A lot of times, like my father came over, he thought he was just going to stay here for a month and start a whole new life over here. When you're talking to these migrants, the asylum seekers that were coming here last year and following this story, like you mentioned, a lot of the negative news that comes out of it, that the folks that are coming up here are murderers and rapists and all that other negative stuff that comes out of there. But in your finding, are you seeing that more and more folks are exactly what you just said, coming here for a better opportunity or running away from something that's from their country that is horrible? And it could be, you're talking about what politics is happening in, about even now recently in Ecuador, when the cartels are coming in and killing politicians flat out in the street. Folks are coming here to escape that.
I've talked to mostly just families, women, children, like men who are coming here just wanting to find better opportunities to hopefully give their children a better life than the one they had back home. And I think that's a very noble thing to do. I think that's, everybody can relate to that, especially in times of struggle and persecution.
Any of the stories that have you written or even talked to someone that sort of stands out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, it was a story that came out in June 2023, where I spoke to this man. His name is Jorge. He is a Venezuelan citizen who fled to the United States. He was telling me about his experience, his journey to get to the United States, and how much he missed his children. He had left home three children behind in his native Venezuela. And he described just the hardship of not having anything to eat, not having anything in his fridge, and how his children would ask them for things, a pair of shoes or a book, and just him having to tell them lies because their situation was just so hard. And he was telling me that there's nothing more painful than when a parent lies to their child. My goal with this story was just to humanize those people that have been so often told that they're coming here with a specific malicious intent to take jobs from Americans or to smuggle drugs into the country or commit crime. But you go to the hotel where all these migrants are staying and you find that they're often fathers, brothers, sons, who are here just looking for a better life. And it's just heartbreaking to see that. But my goal was to really show a different side of what's normally shown in the media, of all those harmful stereotypes, and try to fight that with what's really going on and telling those human stories that I think everybody can relate to.
You can hear more of my conversation with Maria on our website at wjffradio.org. There's a lot more to that conversation. That does it for the local edition. I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. We'll be back on Monday to do this all over again. We have a great music lineup for you tonight, so stay tuned because it's going to be live. It's going to be 2 hours of Rare Care Radio live in studio, so you definitely want to tune into that. And it's going to be fun drive related. Like I said, we're on a fun drive. Give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at wjffradio.org. If you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast, or just go to wjffradio.org, see some of the conversations that we have been having all week. Again, a 4-fun drive is in full effect. Donate online at wjffradio.org. wjffradio.org or 845-482-4141. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the good weather. Bye-bye.
African